Ann Coulter, Dems, the Antifa Party. By Ann Coulter on July 22, 2020. These soldiers are disregarding and overriding the elementary rights of American citizens by applying tactics which must have been copied from the manual issued the officers of Hitler's stormtroopers. The president is substituting military dictatorship for the Constitution of the United States. My fellow citizens, we are now in occupied territory. All this because, after 50 days of raging violence, President Trump has finally sent federal agents to restore order in Portland, Oregon. No, wait. Different Democrats and different president. Although all those quotes are indeed from Democrats about a Republican president, it wasn't Trump. They were Democrats Richard Russell, George Wallace, and Orville Faubus, denouncing President Dwight Eisenhower for sending troops to enforce desegregation at a schoolhouse in Little Rock, Arkansas. In 1983, Faubus was warmly embraced by Bill Clinton at his gubernatorial inauguration. Today's Democrats are Orville Faubus. In Portland, Chicago, New York, Seattle, Atlanta, and elsewhere, children are not merely being blocked from the schoolhouse door, they're being killed. They're being maimed. Citizens are having their property looted and their public spaces destroyed, all with the connivance of local Democratic officials. And once again, the Democrats are championing states' rights to protect domestic terrorists. Trump and his stormtroopers must be stopped. Nancy Pelosi. Democrats and the media want the federal government to brutally crack down on people who don't wear masks, whatever the states say, but faced with an actual violent rebellion, the feds are supposed to stand back and let the governors lead. Portland Mayor Ted Wheeler called the federal officers protecting American citizens an attack on our democracy. Yes, Orville. Portland is occupied territory, just like Little Rock in 1957. Democrats don't care that they are mimicking monstrous figures from the nation's history. They don't care that they are taking sides with Antifa, whose express mission is to kill police officers and destroy America. Oh, we'll get away with it. The media won't report on the violent rioting that the federal government is quelling. Boy, are they right. If Faubus had MSNBC, CNN, and the New York Times covering for him, Americans wouldn't have had the first idea why Eisenhower was sending troops to Little Rock. Until the feds arrived in Portland last week, the Times' most expansive description of the riots was this aside in a chipper article about Seattle's autonomous zone. Perhaps taking a cue from Seattle, demonstrators in Portland, Philadelphia, Richmond, Virginia, and elsewhere have tried to set up protest sites of their own. The media pitched the Lesbian Motorcycle Collective as Portland moms. When reporting on the protests, MSNBC and CNN invariably feature some area of Portland far from the carnage, showing people strolling, the sun shining, and not a single building on fire. You'll never see the part of the city, a little area called downtown Portland, where thousands of black-clad Antifa have been laying waste to everything in sight. You won't see the miles of charming graffiti spray painted on every vertical surface. F.K. cops, F.K. ICE, abolish America. No good cops, kill cops, cops equals bastards, pigs, yes all cops. Oink, oink, F.C.K. Trump, kill the police, dead cops, pigs, slaughterhouse die piggy die, burn pigs, and of course, the Antifa slogan, a gob, or all cops are bastards. Trump should say nothing about Portland except, look at the videos. I recommend you start with journalist Andy NGO's Twitter feed, at Mr. Andy O. After hiding the truth for 50 days, this week, Democrats and the media have been gasping in horror at the sight of federal law enforcement agents appearing in such a bucolic little burg. Here's some of what's being hidden from you. Night after night, the peaceful protesters have thrown bombs, bricks, frozen water bottles, and cement blocks at the Portland police, whom they vastly outnumber. They've fired mortars, marbles, ball bearings, and commercial-grade fireworks at officers, sending dozens to the hospital. They have blinded police with laser guns, slashed their tires, assaulted journalists, and set fire to buildings, statues, and homeless people's belongings. So far, the rioters have done millions of dollars in property damage. In the first few days of July, shootings were up 240% compared to the same period in 2019. Portland police precincts and the federal courthouse have been under constant siege—windows smashed and people barricaded inside as the buildings are set ablaze. Or, as summarized by Ali Velshi on the Antifa channel, while most protesters are peaceful, small groups have clashed with authorities. Look at the videos. Once federal officers moved in, the Times finally decided to tell its readers about Portland. For an accurate portrayal of the protests, the Times interviewed local reporter Robert Evans, who has tweeted, "I feel like tonight Portland finally joined the pantheon of cities that are good at rioting." One of Portland's lessons for the left is that, sometimes, if you meet liberals in the right way, they wind up wanting to break down the doors of a federal building with sledgehammers. So you know you're getting the straight poop from one of Portland's leading Antifa cheerleaders. I don't care if you haven't heard about what's happening in these cities. I don't care that their governors and mayors don't think it's a problem. Unless you're Orville Faubus, it's the federal government's responsibility to quash insurrections and protect the rights of American citizens. The very reason we have a constitution, instead of the Articles of Confederation, is precisely to allow the federal government to put down rebellions. It wasn't a federal school in Little Rock. It's the president's job, more vital than randomly bombing Syria, to suppress domestic insurrections. This is not the first time Republican presidents have had to deal with terrorists supporting Democrats. It probably won't be the last.